Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go. All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Fairway Fit Podcast. Brad here. Greg, how are we doing this week?
Doing well, except for the whole going back to work thing tomorrow. But you know what? Truth, one day of work just makes us that much closer to next year's golf season.
Yeah. For those that don't know, and definitely by the time this episode comes out, we are headed back to our full-time jobs. You know, we both are educators in the school system. And we are back to the grind starting tomorrow. I had kind of a blip earlier in the week, just being missed a couple of meetings I had to go to, but we are back to the everyday grind. It did feel in the round I played today, it felt like it was like the last of the year kind of. And I always hate that feeling when you try to squeeze in that one more round before you go back to work. I know we still play golf.
That was my Monday. That was my Monday round where it was like, you know, teed off at 12:45, and I was like, dude, this is awesome. There's nobody on the course. It's a Monday and nobody's out there. And yeah, those rounds are going to be far gone. It's going to be weekend rounds where everyone else is out there playing as well. So you're looking at five and a half hour rounds pretty much at most of these public courses around.
I mean,
we do
have to still remember that we have mental health days that we do have to take care of ourselves. We can't just put so much pressure on ourselves and our jobs. We do still have to take those days, but golf has been on the docket for both of us. You, as always, seem to want to play the catch-up rounds here at the end of July and early August. You have played a ton of golf, I don't know, past 7 or 10 days.
I've been busy since I was back in my home state.
and playing well. Now, we'll get to the playing well part, but and playing well, which is awesome to hear. I have been kind of on the other side of golf a little bit with my little people, my oldest and my youngest, getting involved in some tournament and competitive golf. And I had to do some caddying the other day. And caddying for a 13-year-old girl that knows everything. It was a lot of fun. I had a blast doing it. It was her
first. Did you wear a bib?
No, so you can order bibs and get bibs on your names and everything, but I did not. We did kind of dress similar.
Okay.
We wanted to look like a team. But this was her first, like, true.
I know T's favorite color is red, but he wears what? On game days, on match days, he wears orange, right?
Yeah, Ricky Fowler orange, because his clubs are Ricky Fowler.
What about the other T?
She was in blue, navy blue.
Blue?
She's in navy
blue.
Easy for me to
match. She is a daddy's girl. She is a daddy's easy for girl. Me. She's wearing navy blue.
So we matched. We did a lot. And that was, it was an experience. I mean, going out there it's different. I mean, there are a lot of good players. We played in the U.S. Kids Tournament. They call it the local tour here in Northern Virginia. And we had to go drive a little bit for it. Went down to the home of the Marines down at the Medal of Honor golf course. But it was a lot of fun. It was got a little hot at times, but it was a lot of fun. And she was super proud of her to kind of step up and do this without doing a lot of competitive rounds. Little guy, it was his second time doing this, and he did a great job. He actually, and I have to give him a good shout out, in his other league, the local Junior Golf Association league here, he was able to take home his first W of his career. There was about, I think, 16, 17 golfers in the tournament, and this is the 9-hole league, and he was able to take home his first W. So big shout out to him.
So the kids are playing well.
He did. He shot a 40, which is
solid.
Now that he's back a little bit further, that's a career round. Every time we move back, we talk about a career round. And there is a one.
What tees did they play for?
So they make their own tees in that.
Okay, but
the
they backed one. So I mean, I saw the last time I played with him, he played the reds. So.
Right. So basically the front of the fairway is where he goes. So obviously a couple of the holes, they move it up a little bit due to carrying things. Like they want them to either lay up and then carry or try to carry off their drives, which makes it a little bit difficult. The big one they played with on Saturday, they actually both basically played in the reds. It was, it was right at 5,000 yards. So it was like, I think it was 49 and change. But one tee was weird. It was like not reds. So I don't know. I don't know. So right between 49 and 5,000 yards, which is big for the little guy. That is driver 3 wood hoping to get there on pretty much everything.
Depending on how I'm hitting the ball, it's the same for me.
On the one he won, it was basically driver and a lot of 7 irons. And since he only carries 7 clubs, so that's his lowest iron. He is a hybrid, but that 7 iron is his lowest iron. So, but anyway, shout out to them. They've been playing good. But I will tell you, caddying is more tiring than walking and playing your own ball.
Did you, are you able to, like, you're not allowed to touch the ball and align it for him, like, on a green
putt? Touch the ball? You know, I don't know that 100%, but I am just like a tour caddy. I'm standing right behind on every shot. For the ladies, well, for the men too, you can align them in a shot, and then you have to leave
the green
behind them. No. Just like in a approach shot or a tee ball, you can help with alignment, and then you have to leave from behind that. For a long time in women's golf, you used to be able to stay behind them and follow all the way after the tee shot was hit or the approach shot was hit. So now I can get behind him and say, you're good, and then go. And then as far as putting, no, I was allowed on the green. We pointed out spots and what we tried to hit. And overall, they played really, really well on Saturday. But you can tell these kids have been playing for a couple of years. And so... and in all honesty, I think both of mine have really took on to this. Maybe my oldest 3 months ago.
Yeah, I was about to say within the last like 5 months.
Yeah, period, if we're in August, I wouldn't say it was. I mean, February, March, they started to really, and then with the little guy, it's been even later than that. So
yeah,
a lot of fun. I mean, it's different. It's different. So that was. It's been a big highlight of our last few days. And then got a couple more. We're going to try to get in before we get kicked back up with baseball and roll from there. But before we get going, I definitely want to give out a shout out to our sponsor of the show, Magic Mind. Magic Mind is the performance mental shot, the mental performance shot that everyone is looking for in their daily routine or in their pre-round routine. It is a great way to get yourself locked in and focused. It gives you that full day's worth of energy in one nutritious shot. You can be able to get through that daily kind of that lull in the day that you can overcome and get rid of that brain fog about halfway through the day. It's been a huge asset for me in my workouts. I've also used it before my rounds. I'm kind of taking it daily right now, and it's been a lot of fun seeing the success that I've gotten from it.
Definitely became a part of my daily regimen as soon as we got our kit, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I really don't know what I was doing without it. Like, I mean, as far as not only just an all day, like energy level, and I don't mean a high where I'm like bouncing off the walls. I mean, just a calm, cool energy where I feel, you know, energetic to get out and go about my day, but also motivated to do other things. My focus is there, whether I be, you know, in my workouts, practicing, I'm back to coaching wrestling. So during wrestling practices, you know, doing anything around the house, like I shouted out last week, my honey-do list gets done every single day. But then also like one of the best things that I've seen from this is just the lull that I get at the end of the day. When it's time to wind down, everyone that has ever known me has known me to be a night owl. And I've been basically being able to get in bed by 10:30 at the latest. And it has allowed me to wake up at 4:15 in the morning and go get my workouts in before the day gets started. So, you know, it's been a huge game changer for me as of late.
Yeah. And if Magic Mind is something you're looking forward to, check us out in our description, we will have a coupon code that you can redeem for 50% off right now your next order. 50% off. So make sure to check it out. Great deal to get yourself started. Like I said, it's been a huge asset on the golf course as well, especially everyone knows I kind of am the walker out there, and it definitely just lets me get through the back side of those final few holes with a little more focus and less fatigue. So we got a lot to talk about today. We have a jam-packed show, three major things we want to touch bases. And the first one is major number three.
Teased it for weeks, but it finally made it happen.
Yeah, we were able to come together this past Friday. We were able to meet out at Locust Hill out in Charleston, West Virginia. May sound familiar if you're a friend of the show. We did play this for our Gents Open back in this past fall. But we went back out there. This is not a new course by any means.
No,
either of us. No. We have played it throughout the years. Used to play it a little regularly. It was always kind of one of those diamond in the rough.
I would always say I'd probably make the trip out there maybe twice a season to go play it back in the day. And yeah, then
not too bad. Got some friends that play a lot out there, and it was in decent shape, I would say. And the front side, some of the greens were a little bit beat up. But I think as the course went on and it got to a little bit more of their more traditional side, which is their backside, I think that's more of their what they're more known for. It was fine. It was a great deal. Got it on Golf Now. Shout out to Golf Now for helping us out and getting us on that course. But yeah, played well. We met up there. You could tell on the range, even though we did meet in the parking lot, on the range was a little more focused than our normal rounds.
I don't know about you. I was listening to the guy taking a lesson from the guy wearing the Spider-Man shirt, like three bays down.
Yeah,
so I was just listening to him and trying to focus on that, you know, swing hard. Hey, stop doing that. Oh, what are you doing? I hope to God, if this guy listens to the show, hey, thank you for listening. Subscribe, like, tell your friends. But I would, if I signed myself up for a lesson and I had that guy walk up to me and start talking to me the way that he was talking and just saying jibber jabbish, I would fire him on the spot.
Yeah, so I was actually up there.
The dude next to you that was striping it.
He was.
The lefty.
I was actually up there a few minutes before you. And he was not a teacher. He was some just random help.
Good. Awesome. Unsolicited advice. Gotta love that.
I mean, I think that's the number one rule in golf, right? You don't give advice unless you're somewhat of a stick. But he just randomly started helping the guy. And I think there was probably some sort of friendship beforehand. I don't know if they're still friends.
I really hope so.
But because then he opened up by like, maybe you should get lessons from the pro. And then that's when I was like, oh, you're not even a teacher. And
he didn't hear that one.
He was getting a little, he was getting pretty detailed for somebody that wasn't actually a PGA pro or PGA teaching instructor there. So. But that was fun. But anyway, it was a little bit more focused. We got ourselves going, and a beautiful day, which it has been for the last couple of weeks here. And let's go ahead and get our numbers out there. I think we both played pretty well overall.
The course. Well, let's give the layout. We played match play.
We did play match play.
You were playing at a 2. Me being a 15-9 walking into this major, I was playing at the course played me at an 18, which do I 100% agree is unfair? Yes. But, Brad probably
you said it was fair. Was unfair. That is fair?
Was unfair. I said,
yeah,
it was
okay.
Unfair.
All right. I appreciate that.
Brad with the gamesmanship that he is complained about it for about 2 to 3 holes and then kind of settled in and kind of just took his medicine. He understood.
Yeah, I'm not sure why it was complaining. It was just that I have said this from the beginning. You're not even a double digit handicap. So to let yourself get to an 18,
I'm playing well,
No. You are not a double digit handicap. You let yourself. You still have not made that major commitment to getting better. You're still wanting to get better. and that's where you still stick where you are. But when you get to an 18, that is just, it's unfair. I mean, you can ask any of the people that listen to our show. That is 100% unfair to play anybody. And then you had, I don't know why you psych yourself out. It's not like you have to play perfect. And I was like, no, actually, Greg, I do have to play perfect.
Because no, but that's the problem, is you try and play perfect. If you just play your game, you actually play 10 times better.
Well, I ended up playing pretty well, but that's besides the point. When you're losing with birdies or losing with pulls with pars, that's a problem. I mean, that's just true. Where it's just not fair.
You pushed with birdie on the first one.
Pushed with birdie on the first one. Yes, I did. That's what I say. I pushed with the birdie and I lose with pars. I mean, that's just kind of like, that's just not how, when we got into this is not how we set it up. We should be equals. And, you know, all this means is, you know, it's coming down and I'm going to give you about two shots aside and then we roll from there. But we'll anyways,
see how low it can go.
I'm going to go ahead and throw out my first 9 numbers to get us going. After I figured out the greens a little bit, I did have a couple early 3 putts, but my numbers are pretty good. Ended up with a 37 on the front. I was able to get a birdie on number 8, which brought me back down. I birdied one. You dropped in like a 40 footer, and then I made like a 15, 16, 18 footer. Kind of right on top of you, which I'm glad the hole got in the way.
Same with mine. Mine was going to be off the green if it didn't hit in the hole.
Because, you know, you didn't get off the tee very well, and then you dropped that in for par, and I'm like, oh, yeah, it's great. 18 handicap, right? Yeah, just dropping 40-foot bombs. And then I slammed one into the flag stick and dropped it in too. So it all equaled out. Ended up with 3 out of 7 fairways, which – it was a pretty hard pan that day. And then I was 6 of 9 in greens. And I think that's kind of what kept me into it. I did have 2 3 putts. So I ended up with 3. No, I actually ended up with 3 bogeys on the front and 2 birdies on the front. And 2 of the 3 bogeys were 3 putts. The one was a tough up and down, which I didn't get. So it is what it is on that one, but yeah, so not a bad start. I think at the end of 9, I was only down 3 holes, maybe 4 holes.
I think it was 4.
Four holes. So yeah, 18.
yeah. So basically, I started out playing rather well. I too had a couple of 3 putts. I ended up shooting 39 on the front, which is my best front 9 in the season.
3 over, right? 39, 3 over, 3 9 over. 9 over, 3 over. Okay.
Right. 3 over. 3 over. I had a lot of 1 putts. Had 5 1 putts on the front. I did have 2 3 putts and had 15 putts on the front 9. 1 of 7 on the fairways. Fortunately, on some of them, I got some lucky bounces and/or was off the fairway with a second shot. I was only 33% for greens, so I wasn't really hitting a lot of greens, but I was chipping the ball rather well. If I was missing greens, I was putting myself in position where I had a pretty solid putt after the front 9. But yes, I believe I made the turn at 4. Possibly 5.
I think it was 4. I think it was 4 because I think I took it. I think you had it at 5 and I brought it back to 4 on 8. And then, I don't know. I think that brought it to 3 and then you brought it back up to 4 on 9 when I made par and you made par as well. But par doesn't win holes. But anyway, so moving to the back, you had a big lead and honestly, we actually tried to do some videoing on this and some taping. We just kind of got away with ourselves. It was such a good time when we're both kind of playing well. It was both of us kind of rolling a little bit and we're feeding off each other, which was a lot of fun. So I'll just end it right here. I parred the next 3 holes, but I also still lost the match. I think I lost 7.
I parred
the next 8 holes, but in the next 3 holes with all pars, I think I lost the match 7-6, is what the actual major ended up being. But taking that away, yes, I ended up parring the next 8 holes and I bogeyed 18 to shoot another 37. And I think you turned around and shot pretty much the same as you did.
No, I fumbled a little bit on the back. Basically, I think the OB ball on the par 5,
that one got you,
was a game changer. I think both of us kind of in the back of our heads thought that major number 3 might be my 70s round at one point.
Yes.
And I did feel, and I will, kudos to you, I'll give you this. I did feel the change in your demeanor where it turned from, okay, like there's no chance I'm going to beat him today. Like, let me start rooting for him. So, you know, I felt it and like, whatnot. But I think one of the biggest changers of like, now I brought it back, but that OB ball in the par 5 that I went back, re-teed, and then still double bogeyed, put it down the right side, hit up the left side, chipped on types thing. Kind of rebounded from that, went 3 straight pars, but coming in, went bogey, double bogey to finish and really had my first lost ball in 18 when it was.
Well, I would say your whole round, I mean, obviously when we got through 16 and 17 it's a gettable par 5. I mean, it's a weird tee shot, but it's a gettable par 5. And I think when I almost shanked my go back, but still was in play because I hit a 6-iron, I think 70 yards total, which was the only reason why I still found my ball. But I started to think you felt some pressure. And so, like, I was kind of glad I got the layup first, thinking that I was going to help you give a more of a line and just saying, hey, you know, I shanked one, but I'm still going to make par here and try to make birdie. And that was probably, I know the OB ball, but it's driver. Driver's a little bit easier to hit it wide left and right. I think the ball on 17 was like a 5-iron that you kind of double crossed
your stomach. Yeah, I just tugged.
That was the first time I was kind of like, oh boy, Greg's showing up here. And I'm like, all right, we got to figure this out. But, you know, you were kind of dead to rights there and you ended up giving one back there. I think in your mind, you were thinking maybe a chance for birdie. Never, you know, no, birdie's never definite, but a chance there. And then going on 18. And then on 18, we went for the hero shot. I was basically dead behind a tree, chipped out, had no play. You did not have a good lie. And I didn't have to talk you into it because I think you knew it was on the line. I think birdie puts you at 78 or 79.
Yeah.
Par put you at 80. And I mean, you had 1 foot out of the bunker.
Oh yeah.
1 foot in the bunker, 5-iron, which.
No, it was a 6-iron.
6-iron. And I don't think the lip was really like in the way of the ball, but it was almost in the way of your swing. I mean, that's how close you were. And, you know, we went for the hero shot and it didn't work out. And I think that either ended up with a double or.
Yeah. Ended up dropping, hit a double.
Yeah. So, I mean, you double that one, you doubled the par. The one par 5 or OB, and I think you shoot 41.
43 on the back.
43 on the back. Okay.
Shot an 82 overall.
82 overall. So, you know, a couple here and there. The back does play bigger. I think it's a little longer than it is on the front. I wouldn't say it's harder just because it is a little bit, I think, more open than the front side. I think the front 3 and 4 are pretty narrow. 8 can be narrow. Or you can play from the other fairway, which works a lot on that par 5. But if you look at the fairway, it is actually pretty tight because you can hit it pretty ways down there. So, but yeah, I mean, once I kind of knew it was done, I mean, I was still playing well, but with no pressure. And it was kind of like, you got a line on that putt? You need some help with that putt? what are you trying to do here? Let's see if we can go ahead and put that 70s round up.
Putting, I was rolling it pretty well. But of course, I had 18 putts on the back, 33 total for the day, 3 of 7 fairways on the back. So that's not really great, 29% on the day. But like I said, if I was off the fairway, I was off the fairway. I was scrambling pretty well. Ended up hitting 56% of my greens on the back 9 to average out for 44% on the day. So played me as an 18. I was shot in 82, so net 64 on that day. So
64. Yeah. My 74 net 72 does not hold up to that. So very tough to lose with the 74, but I mean, I have to give credit. I did think about this. I was like, oh, how am I going to say this? You know, if you're 10, you know, you still would have won. And actually 10, we would have pushed, but
yeah.
So I don't know if you needed the extra 8 shots, but you know, anyway, you took advantage of them. You played really well. I can't say you, it's not like you beat me with an 89 or an 88. I mean, an 82 is a pretty good. And I think we looked it up. Is that was like your best round at the time in the last,
yeah, in the last like four years.
Yeah. So, or maybe second best round in the last 3 or 4 years. Yeah. I couldn't remember what it was. So, yeah, I mean, overall great day. Enjoyed it. We joked about going out for 9 more. But of course we both had to kind of get on our way back to the families. But, unfortunately, that does make my major count for the year 0-3.
Brings my major streak up to 4.
Up to 4. And we are 4-4 in the majors, if I have that right.
Oh, wow. I tied it up. Man, look at that. I didn't think about that.
Because I believe last year we did the World Series. So it was out of 7 competitions. 5 of them were majors. 1 was the summer season. And 1 was the overall differential and handicap. And I think I went 5-2 in that last year, but, have not won a major, even though I mean, we're going to talk a lot about some of the good rounds you've had lately. I've been playing some pretty solid golf. In the last,
I mean, you're playing true to a 2 handicap, pretty much majority of your rounds.
So what's funny is I'm getting that number down, but I don't feel like that. It's not like I've been a 2 for 5 years where I just, you know, have that confidence where you're going to know you're going to go out and score. So,
but I mean, when
I'm having that confidence that I could give up some shots early and still be in the round late, which
you can scramble.
I never did that before. And,
you can score when you need to.
Yeah. And you know, everything is improving. I mean, I think I'm putting better than I have in years. I think my short game's getting better, but it's, what's funny is even though I'm putting those numbers up, I still feel like, oh my God, there's so much I need to get better at.
I will say that is a big noticeable change, is that, like, I would say that probably last season putting was probably one of your weak spots.
Oh yeah. It's
where, yeah.
But I've never practiced either.
Where basically I could say, like, you know, you line up an 8-footer and I'm like, I got a pretty good opportunity that he's going to miss this and tap in, you know, 2-putt from there. And lately you've rolled putts in where I'm like, all right, well, like, now I definitely got to make this, or now I definitely got to, you know, if you're inside of me and, you know, like, you're at like 8 feet and I'm at a 20-footer, like, I need to make sure that my putt's a tap in, or else if I blow it by the hole when I miss the comebacker, I know you're going to basically make that first putt. Now.
Yeah. And I think, on the flip side for yourself, you know, one thing we've always talked about is that you roll the ball pretty well, but you've also had to roll the ball with no pressure. And over the last week, I think you can tell, because every round it's like, oh, I rolled it okay, but not as good as I have been, is that you're starting to see that it's a lot harder to make a birdie putt than it is to make a double bogey putt.
Oh, like, yeah.
Even from 5 feet, it just... You've seen those reels where it's like, oh, a triple bogey, I can hit it between my legs and it goes in from 30 feet. But when I got a 5-foot birdie putt, it breaks 3 ways. And so what I love to hear, though, is that you're recognizing that as you're trending in the right direction, like, you're starting to see things that you can identify, smaller bits and pieces that you need to get better on. It's not, I just need to hit the ball better. I need to hit the ball and play. It's now like, oh, I need to get more better distance control, my pacing on putts, my chipping's not giving me that, you know, I need to make that 10-footer instead of making it for bogey. I want to make it for par now. So,
right.
Which is great, because like I said, I think it's been a big week and you know, we're going to get to some really big highlights for you here in a few minutes. So unfortunately, 0-3, major number 3. We're still going to have major number 4, still have major number 5. Hopefully I can snap your streak and take one of my, you know, mid-70s rounds and try to win something with David. But like I said, you played great. Hats off to you. But let's talk about summer season. Okay. We are winding down big
in that.
Well, you are trending. Like we said, we're trending. We are in week number 9.
Yep.
We have 2 weeks left because we do have one more week until the officially school with students comes back. Week number 9. And for those that don't know, we do a head-to-head competition every week. Although we're not together, we do wherever we are for the first round of the week counts as our summer season. And we are take our net score and compare it to see who's going to take home points. It's a point-based system. We have some bonus points. The second half of the season were double points, and that's where we are. So our week this week was worth 2 points. You have some opportunities to kind of like double down or push if you're kind of struggling behind, you can Hail Mary. So after your round, play a really good round, and before you know what the other person's played, you can throw out a Hail Mary, or you can throw out a blind Hail Mary, which you did last week. Did not work out for you. Did this week. And you pretty much already said it for next week, even though we haven't even started talking about next week yet. So you did a blind Hail Mary. You played yesterday. I played today. You played at
Pleasant Valley,
which has been very good for you this year. I played at Stone Lake because it's.
What's hysterical is basically Pleasant Valley. The last time I played it, like I was like, it's got some burn spots and whatnot. But I was like, but I have played well here. I was like, all right, I'm going back there.
Yeah.
Screw it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, after the weekend, you definitely should have been going back there. So, I'm going to go ahead and get my whole round out. You're going to get your whole round out, and then we will talk about the points because it is getting to a point where it's getting, got to pull out some calculators every once in a while to make sure we're doing this right. So I have been able to get a pretty good lead. I'm up 3 touchdowns and a field goal. So it's 24-1. It helped out. I've had a lot of bonus points this year opposed to last year when we did this. I've had some really good rounds count for me. So I have a good lead, but we did figure out mathematically there is still a chance. And so that's why we did it. So today I went out. It was a little hotter than it has been, and I felt it a little bit.
It was pretty warm today.
It got a little sun on the arms, but I went out front 9, shot a 40. It was ugly. Went driver wedge to 3 feet, tap in birdie. And I'm like, all right, here we go. Let's roll.
Okay.
I have been somebody that I can have a good round with the birdie and I can have a really bad round when I started with the birdie. So I was like, okay, no big deal. I ended up 3-putting on 2. Technically wasn't a 3-putt because I was on the fringe. So I ended up not getting up the mound. It kind of went around and did a little come back at me, and then I went back up. So anyway, ended up taking a bogey there, which, you know, giving it right back, it wasn't a big deal for me. But I just didn't feel great today. Felt really good on the range, really good feel of warming up with everything. Shout out to Lab Putter. I have a Lab Putter right now. I say that, but it's not
I was about to say borrowed, bought, rented.
Here's the story on the Lab. And then we're going to go back a little bit to my little guy's tournament on Saturday. Now I went out with Tegan early, my oldest early, and we were already off. So my brother caddied for my little guy, and he's on the green with about 8 or 9 other golfers. And he looks to his uncle and says, I'm the only guy without a Lab Putter. And so Brian, who's been on the show, a friend of the show, Bullpens and Bunkers, shout out to him. He was like, oh, you need a Lab Putter? I'll go get one. And like, you being 10, you're like, what do you mean? What are you going to do? Well, he actually has borrowing a Lab Putter from a friend, and he had it in his car. And so he brought a Lab Putter back down, and Tyler played with a Lab Putter. And literally,
how high, how tall was this?
It's not as bad as you think.
I mean, Tyler could putt with my putter easily, but I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, and I think
34 or 35.
So I'm using the lab putter while I have it here, and it's not short. It's a little tall for him, but he's grown quite a bit. So
no, I mean, he's like up to my eyebrows now. He's gonna be taller
getting there
in 6 months.
And it wasn't a huge difference, and but anyway, so we're like, I don't know if I'm making the turn with my oldest, and my wife was like, yeah, and he's putting with a blue putter, and I'm like, what are you talking about? He's putting with a blue putter. Oh yeah, he's got some lab putter from his uncle, and I'm like, what? I go, all that putting practice that we do, and all of a sudden he wants to come up with a lab. I go, oh my gosh. And putting's not as strong. So, you know, 10-year-olds, they want to blow it by the hole. They want to make everything, which at this age is perfectly fine. At older age, it's kind of like, let's just get it to the hole and tap it in. But he putted really well with it on Saturday. So anyway, I played with it on Sunday for 9 holes, and it is exactly what it's crapped up to be. It is a game changer. It really, really is. Now, this isn't the big one that looks like that alpha signal with the circle on top. It is more of the blade style. I don't actually know the model number, but I will tell you, I've never rolled the ball so pure, even if you don't hit the center, than on any other putter I've ever seen.
Now, can you feel it coming off the face better?
Oh,
like, can you still get the feel of hitting it off
so
the center?
I actually hit it so pure that I told a buddy I played with, I was like, you actually have to really care, really, really worry about pace of play, pace, because you hit it so well, it just rolls, and it rolls out. There's no skip. There's no bump. It just comes off the face. Like, even if you hit it off center, it still feels like you're hitting it on center. And I think with the confidence in your head being it's a lab, it's not going to twist on you. Every putt is online. So it's all literally green reading. And as much as it helped me today, it probably hurt me as well too, because I wasn't scared to blow a couple 5 or 6 feet past. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to make this coming back. So, but yeah, so he went out and he played with the lab, but never played before. Goes out, shoots his best 18-hole score ever on Saturday. And it's nice. I don't know if it's $560 nice.
That's how much lab
cheap.
Is now?
That's how much lab is. And so if lab wants to help us out, we would be glad to support them, to talk about them, to do whatever we can with them to get that opportunity. Because they are the real
it's going to take a lot to get me away from my Odyssey.
I'll be honest with you, Greg. It won't. It really won't. It really, really won't. Once you hit it, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, this feels.
It'll have to rhyme with tree.
True. I mean, I'm not Nate. I'm kind of right there with you, because it goes back to uncle after the weekend here, because he's got another tournament this weekend. So
I don't know. That's not the first putter you've taken out of his bag without him knowing.
Yeah, but he keeps taking it back. Keeps taking it back. So, anyway, so I ended up with a 40, had two doubles on the front, a birdie, and a bogey. So I ended up with a 40. I was 2 for 7. I still hit 6 of 9 greens. But I never felt really great over the ball, and definitely didn't hit it close. A lot of my stuff was just long putts, so I wasn't going to be able to make it up. So I was sitting at a 40 after 9. I believe I played the combos, which had me at a 3 today. So we'll just start with 40, and then we'll do the net later. So how'd you do after 9?
After 9, I also started my round at Pleasant Valley with a birdie, which was solid. Like I said, we played Pleasant Valley this weekend, had a pretty solid round there. So had confidence going back to that course and playing it. Started out with a birdie, you know, basically was hybrid in the fairway, chipped it to 15 or hit a wedge to 15 feet, rolled the putt in. I was like, today's gonna be a good day.
Yeah.
Got brought back to reality rather quickly on 2. Had a bad bounce on, I kind of tugged it a bit and it hit and skipped dead left and went OB. Had to drop it there. Basically hit a 9-iron and drew it around the trees and kind of hit the backside of the green, rolled down the hill a little bit, had to chip up and ended up bogeying that hole. Then continued to be humbled, tugged another drive out of bounds on the next hole, and then continued to basically snap hook another one out of bounds and took an 8 on a par 5.
Yeah, I think you had, did you have 2 8s on the
front? Yes.
Oh boy.
Yes. Oh boy. Both par 5s on the front I had triples on. So
did you play not to cut you off, but did you play, are you still playing the whites or did you play?
I played back the whites to mimic and what'd try and bring, other, bring back the same.
So on the second par 5, the whites, you can clear the chute, right? Okay. So I'm just trying to make sure, because I've always played that course, and when we play up, we can clear it. But when you play back, it's
I actually the couple weekends ago when I played my round there for our week was, or no, I didn't play my round there. I played a Sunday afternoon, got rained out after 9, but I did play the blues and I hammered a drive that caught the chute. And the people in front of me weren't letting me pass. And I thought they were long gone.
And you were,
because I sat on the tee box for a while.
Well, that's,
and I hit that chute. And when I got up to my ball after, like, I drove up and apologized, obviously, the ball rolled out 334 yards.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, I think every golf data in the world will tell you not to hit driver from the blue.
Oh, yeah.
On that chute, because I think the landing area is like 12 yards, maybe 15 yeah. yard fairway.
It's very small.
And then you got like 4 to 5 yards on the sides there. But yeah, but when you hit it, man, it could roll because it's like straight downhill right afterwards. So where'd you end on the front?
So on first 5 holes, I had a very humbling experience. I went birdie, bogey, triple, par, 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 birdie. That was my front 9.
Did you go for to shoot a
42? No, I hit a hybrid. I hit a hybrid to about, I think I had 30 yards in.
Yeah, it's not.
And
it's
not I nutted on a 3 hybrid and put it out there.
It's 30 hybrid, yards man. In. You said that's part of your game plan now.
Chipped it to about 7 feet and then made the putt for birdie. So turned the corner at 42, had 13 putts on the front 9, had 5 1 putts. I only hit 2 of 7 fairways, only 33% of greens, but I had 10 penalties.
Yeah, that's going to get you.
Still, so I had 2, 4, 5 drops on that front 9.
Ooh. All right, so we're sitting at a 40, and I think you had a 42 is what you said. Moving yep. right into the back. Lately, that's kind of been the side I've been able to kind of catch things up on. It's funny, though, like, I feel like I saw something earlier today, or maybe it was yesterday, that talked about, you know, golf is like 70% ability and, you know, skill and 30% luck. And
I can agree with that.
I think that is so true. I mean, I'd make the turn and I've been playing well, but I know 10's kind of an important one to get started. And I split the fairway, great ball. Have 125 in, and I just absolutely blade a wedge so bad that it runs down, hits the rock,
kicks back, so you actually have a shot.
No, hits a bush, kicked back to the rocks. And you know, our wall at Stone Lee,
oh, yeah.
It's a local rule. I'm like, I can move it to where it doesn't affect my swing. So I got up and down. And I'm like, I don't deserve a par here. Like, I'm literally in my head, I'm like, this isn't right. I chipped it to like probably about 5 feet and made the putt. And I'm like, I don't deserve this. But you know what? Anyway, next hole, had a little good stretch in. I ended up, I bogeyed 12, which is a difficult hole. I actually misclubbed. I just read the wrong number in my range finder. Instead of playing it up the hill, I played it more of a raw number. Not an end of the world. I just, mental brain fart. Ended up birdie in 14, hit a beautiful one in there, birdie in 14. And so I'm back on 15 right now. I played the combo. So 15 this time plays me back. But we had a good little breeze. And I'm like, you know what? Driver's too much. I don't love my 3-wood at the moment. I'm like, I'm going to see how far I can hit a hybrid. Hit it. Just beautiful. And guess what I had? I had a 6-iron. 6-iron in on 15. This is what, the third or maybe fourth time that I've been playing well. Come up there. And this time, hosel rocketed into the water. Yeah. And so now I knew where the ball was, but I was kind of frustrated. So I did drop a ball and I just peered one to the middle of the creek, but I didn't play that. I went up, took my walk back from the water to the fairway, hit a wedge to about 4 feet, had too much spin on it, sucked it back down the hill about 15 feet, ooh, maybe 20 feet, ended up just 2-putting. So I made a bogey, but it was kind of like, I just made birdie and I gave it right back. Parred 16, parred 17. Parred 18, and I ended up with a 37 on the back. Played fairly solid. I actually felt better on the back. Still didn't feel 100%. 13 putts, 6 of 7 fairways, 3 of 9 greens on the back, which is lower than what I've been able to do lately. So I ended the day with a 77, 27 putts, 57% fairways. A lot of hybrids today, and then 44% greens, which is not a bad round, but it's not great. And I'm finding that I actually double chipped twice today. So I on 4, I made double bogey. I chipped. I thought I hit a perfect one, and I walk up there, and it was still, it didn't get the bounce mm-hmm. out of it. And then on 7, from the middle of the fairway, I bladed a wedge down to the red. It was in the red hazard, but I played out of it. So there was a chip short of the green, chip. And then I had to do that too. So it was, I don't know if they were, yeah, obviously the one was a bad chip, but maybe it was just bad execution opposed to actually bad contact. So, 77, played as a 3, net 74, which I think kept me in the hunt a little bit the way you finished.
Yeah. Shout out back to my playing with a gallery rule. Definitely again on when I was playing as a single and I was behind this foursome and I was sniffing their coattails the entire time. Finally on the par 3 in the front 9, which is 7, they hit their balls as I'm kind of parked up on the hill and they wave me through. And they drive up to the. They're on the tee box. They wave me through. They drive up and stand right on the green. I'm just like, oh, God. Luckily, hit a pitching wedge, and I knew it was pretty good at that point. Well, I'm walking back to the cart before it even hits the green, and all I hear him just go is like, whoa. And I thought I was on the back of the green. I was like, I caught that a little thin. It's going to the back of the green. Whatever, I'll be fine. Well, luckily I hit the back of the green and spun that thing back about 12, 15 wow. feet. And as I walked up, they were just like, great shot. And I was like, yeah, I wish I could tell you I did that, but I can't tell you. I was still 40. I was still 40 feet from the putt, from the pin, and 2-putted from there, put it probably 3 feet and then tapped in, great par, went on. But then made the turn and great transition when you're talking about 30% luck. This has happened, multiple times for me, being lucky, rather be lucky than good. Talk to your ball in the air and maybe it'll listen. 10, I continued, kind of went back to it for some reason. Driver wasn't playing well with me today. Par 5 to start out the back 9. Snap hooked it into the rough and couldn't find it. Had to take a drop. Decided that 3 hybrid, being the club that I am very trusty with, all right, let's hit this and try and get it close so that I can maybe chip up and maybe have a 1-putt to save par type thing. But that poked a 3 hybrid, and I was going to the left, and on 10, there's bunkers, trees, gone. And I literally in the middle of the fairway, in the middle of the rough there, I'm sitting, hit a tree and come back, hit a tree and come back, hit a tree and come back. And luckily, boom, hit a tree, came back in play. I was in front of the bunkers. I wasn't in the bunker. It was great. I was in between 2 sets of bunkers. chipped on, saved bogey there. I did two putt there. I left the putt a little bit short, two putted there for bogey. Went on, went par, par, birdie to start the back. Then this was my demise. Was 14 is a gettable par three, a short par three that is a wedge at most. I think I hit a 54 degree, or I might have even hit a 58 degree because I had some wind at my bat, and put it in the middle of the green, probably a 30 foot putt, a little bit downhill. I kind of rolled it by maybe 5 feet from the pin, and the comebacker lips, and three putt bogey. And that kind of set into motion some bad things happening. The next hole had a great tee ball, was on the fairway, probably 100 and I think it was 151. I had wind at my face in this hole. And like, I kind of really didn't like my lie just because I was just, it just kind of was below my feet and whatnot. And so I was like, all right, I'll just hit a smooth nine and I should be fine. It was uphill, wind in my face, smooth nine. You know, I don't have to kill it. I probably could kill a pitching wedge and get it up onto the front of the green, but whatever. Hit a nine, and for some reason, I don't know why, but caught a flyer, flew right over the pin, one hopped, and then went into the crap behind the bunk, behind the green. Had a drop behind the green, had a double bogey there. Then 16 went beautiful tee shot right down the middle of the fairway, chipped on, started out with, I was probably 20 feet. Once again, first putt, kind of just misread it probably, or maybe blew it by the hole. I can't remember which one on this one. I was probably 5 feet. Once again, had another lip out, three putt, bogey. The next hole, 17, just basically my hit in the fairway. Chip came up a little bit short, didn't get a hop onto the green, and therefore had to chip on, two putt, bogey. I was like, all right, no. I gotta save it. Let me just figure out 18. Been playing well with this.
18's a tough one.
And 18, well, this was the thing. I was like, you know what? I was like, I've been drawing the three hybrid, and worst case scenario, I've been snap hooking it, and there's those hills along 18 on the left side. I was like, I'm safe here. Dead straight into the water.
My boy. Been there, done that many times at Pleasant Valley.
And so drop that, and then wedge from where I dropped of my entry point into the water, basically put it into the sand. Sand came out a little bit thin, and actually not thin. It actually came out really well, but just a lot higher and further than I wanted it to, and put it on the top side of the green, just right off of it. So I had to putt downhill, miss that one. And then made the comebacker for a two putt to finish at a triple on 18. Shot a 44 on the back, 19 putts, 4 for 7 fairways, 56% greens. Once again, had three drops on the back, shot 86, was playing at a 12 on this day, and shot net 74.
Put you at 74. So sounds like net 74 for both of us. Now, you did blind Hail Mary, which is tripling the points. So you 6 points were up for grabs. We did kind of talk before this. It looks like that we will, I think the way we did it last
year. What if we did it this way? And this is my proposition. What if I called an all-in, a new tail to this, an all-in? Where, okay, there was what, 6 points this time, right?
Yeah.
6 points for blind Hail Mary. What if that carries over? All right. And I'm going to make this week's 12, which means if I have.
Yeah, you still 12, mathematically can't do it.
I know. I'm just trying to make this interesting now.
But we didn't do this last year.
If I had it
interesting at one point, I lost by. At the end. So
it is true.
I agree with you, but
I would still need to win week 9. I would still need 10. To shoot. I'm sorry. Win week 10. Yeah. Shoot under 85.
No, in the 70s. The only way you could do it is you'd have to. Well, that's not true. So you're right.
No. My bonus you're right. So is sub 85.
There's two of them. So there's two ways you could do it. Obviously, the 12 points that would be up for grab, because I'm assuming you're blind Hail Mary. Yes. You get 1 point bonus for a sub 85, but you get 2 more point bonus for a sub around in the 70s. So that would give you 15 points. You would need a hole in one for five points.
What's a perfect game?
Perfect game, we said, was 5 points as well, too. And that would give you 26 points to my 24 points. So I guess technically you don't need a round in the 70s to tie. Because that would give you 20.
If I get a hole in one and win, that should give me enough points.
No, it doesn't. You'd have to have a sub.
Oh, yeah. I keep thinking.
Yeah, we didn't do it that much. You'd have to have a sub 85. So you don't really need a round in the 70s.
Okay, so I just need a hole in one.
But if you're in the 70s, you would win.
Round in the 70s. Perfect game. And yeah, simple, easy.
So the only way I would go in, the only way I would go in all or nothing is that you played a half your handicap. Because I can't have you go into Locust Hill, get 18 shots, and shoot the course record net wise.
Oh, no. I'm not going to do that.
So I couldn't, but I'm saying, I mean, 12 shots.
What about 75% of my handicap?
So I think you actually already get 75. I don't know why it you only get 80% on grand. I watched a good video today and I think you get 80%. So if you're 15 and then the slope and everything, the slope is like the difference between what a scratch golfer and a bogey golfer would shoot. I didn't know that. I actually thought it was only for a scratch golfer. It has something to do with a bogey golfer too. Then I'll take your other 25%.
Oh, I don't know if I can do that to you. Because you're gonna go out there and throw up a 74.
It'd be great. So
next 68.
What if we just tried to play it together and we'll figure it out?
We'll play it together because it's probably gonna have to be a weekend round for week 10.
I don't know. My head's been mental. After a week of work, I might need a mental health day. So,
okay,
we can always get out early one day.
Yeah,
when the kids get back. But anyway, so if people haven't been catching on, the trend we've been talking a lot about right now, and we're not going to, we're getting a little late in the episode here, but we have a few minutes here. We want to talk about the trend, and over the last few weeks, I think everybody's kind of noticed that Greg has been trending in the right direction. And
I got a fire symbol on my grin again.
While he was on vacation, I remember he had a frustrating round right before he came back. And I said, well, you need to come back and play with me. And we would figure this out together. It's going to be the vibes. And he came back and he played with not only myself, but shout out to Anthony as well, too. Our good buddy, good friend of the show. We met up and played. And if you ask
Steve,
we had Steve only for the first half. You're right. For a short period of time. And with that, and with an aha moment where Greg figured out his grip, things have really changed over the weekend. And we did talk about a round on Friday. We talked about a round he had on Monday. We were trying to skip over the round he had on Sunday. He kind of spoke about it that he wanted to relive something special. So, Greg, let us have it. What did you do on Sunday?
So Sunday, I played with a buddy. I was actually supposed to play Algonquian. He's a new golfer and he booked a tee time and he was like, hey, I got a spot. Let's come out. And like I was like, hey, if it's 2 o'clock, we're good to go. And he was like, all right, bet. I'm literally about to drive to the course. And he was like, hey, he calls me. He's like, I screwed up. Booked it for next weekend. He's like, my foursome that I booked is for next weekend. And I was like, oh, was like, that sucks. That means I can't play golf today. And he was like, no. He was like, I just booked a foursome at Pleasant Valley. He was like 217. He was like, we're on our way to the course there now. That's he was like, funny. We'll meet you there. I was like, all right, bet. So I was playing with three guys, one of my assistant coaches, and then two of his buddies from college. He also told me, he was like, hey, can you also bring your extra bag? He was like, cause my buddy doesn't have clubs right now. And like his buddy is actually a pretty good player. I mean, he gets around the course pretty well. You know, he's probably like, I would put him at maybe 16, handicap. And he came home from a golf trip and left his bag in his buddy's car. So he had to use my old set.
So he has knew how to play golf.
He has clubs. He's been playing golf his entire life. His dad basically has taught him. But we go out and play, and I will say that I played one of the quietest rounds you would ever see me play as far as it goes. I started out with a bogey, and really it was a three putt bogey. Once again, I just kind of lipped out on a short putt on one and moved along, went par bogey. Once again, the par three basically landed it short or landed it left. Chipped on, two putted, bogey, still pretty fine. Sitting at two over through four holes, I was happy as a clam. Then went par on the par five, one putted on that one. Then bogey on six, par. Very quiet, 39 on the front, 17 putts, 2 for 7 fairways, but 56% greens.
Now,
and only one drop.
Well, 56% green, that's still pretty good. I mean, you've been going in the low 20s to 0%.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So that's a 39. In the last, because I think you had one then. So you've probably had more nine hole scores in the 30s in the past 10 days than you've probably had in almost a year. This whole calendar year.
Well, probably more than a year.
Let's just say calendar year. So definitely more than this calendar year since January. So again, trending in the right direction. You know, I like it. Met up, grip change, ready to go. All right. So three and over.
All it was it wasn't a huge grip change. It was just a readjustment to the grip change already made. It's just I was doing it wrong.
What's funny about that is because I thought about that. And I don't think I technically caught on when you
it was made whole, that. It was whole like 13 or 14 that I finally was just like, dude, am I doing this right?
But to go almost 4 months holding the club the way you did, and out of the amount of many golf reels and videos that probably the two of us watch.
It just, I don't know. Yeah. I was like, why doesn't this feel right?
And then like I have a blister here. I go, What do you mean you have a blister? Anyway, so it was, like I said, an aha moment. We figured something clicked, something clicked. So we're at 39. We're rolling.
39, I'll be honest 39 with you. So making the turn.
217. I think I started, my little guy was getting warmed up for his tournament. So about 2:30, I think we showed up about that time. And I'm like, all right, I'll just follow along, see how Grace played. And I was like, oh. Okay. I was like, he's still wrong. He played well Friday. And I'm like, all right, three over. Let's see if he can pull this off. So here we go. Making the turn at 10, par five.
Making the turn at 10. Hit a drive up the left side. I was just off the fairway, I was just left off the fairway in the rough, perfectly fine. Decided to hit my three hybrid again. And this is kind of where I lucked out again on Monday was. I tugged it a bit and screamed and yelled, hit a tree and come back in. And
get on the ground.
This I hit two. I and put myself into the bunker right next to the greenside bunker. Chipped up, two putted, parred 10. Three putt bogey on 11, which is a short par three. Even though I was on the green, it was just a long putt.
It's actually a hard green. That's not an easy green to putt on.
It was, I misjudged it and basically tried to like baby a, a wedge in there, and okay. rather than like kind of hitting, like I didn't want to hit like a 54 and go after it. I wanted to kind of baby a pitching wedge in there, it was an approach wedge. And so I landed on the front of the green, and it was, the pin was in the back uphill, probably a 40 plus foot putt, and missed it. And basically, obviously three putted, then went, par. And then on the par five, which has been a demise of me, which is funny because I birdied it for our round on Monday. I doubled that. I lost a ball basically tugging a approach shot into the woods on the, towards the green. So doubled that, then birdied the par three that I three putted that started my downfall on Monday. Bogeyed 15 with a three putt, and then went par, par, par to finish out another 39 on the back, 78 total. 19 putts on the back, 3 of 7 fairways, 89% green and regs on the back, for a total of 36 putts on the day, 36% driving, 72% green and regs. I was playing at a 15 on this day, so I netted a 63.
We don't care about net. We don't care about net. Unless we're competing, no one cares about net.
But you gotta care about net, because we'll say it was the lowest round recorded. Net round recorded in Grint on that week.
I saw that too. And my question to you, does that mean that you're getting better? Or are you good at sandbagging? So
When you sent that text, I hadn't even looked at that notification.
You probably, what is this guy talking about?
Well, two other people sent me the same thing. They were like, Duke of the course, man, net 63. And I was like, where are they seeing? I was like, net 63. They were like, that's the lowest round on the course.
What are you talking about? I mean, okay, so it's taken us, let's just say 18 months. I don't think it's quite 18 months. Let's just say 18 months. And both of us now have checked off a box, right? So
finally, I can check one.
Yeah, but in 18 months, I mean, if you really think about it, our goals weren't easy by any means. And golf's a pretty hard sport. So you're in that trend. You're in that trend. I just can't wait from 18 months from now when we're playing straight up gross. Completely gross.
I don't know if I'm going to be a two.
It's completely gross. and we don't have to do this whole net.
There's still going to be, I will say this. I will be happy if there's a point in time where it is a fair and not a me being like, yeah, I don't care. Let's just play that. Where the fair number is maybe me less than 3 shots aside.
We were playing that a couple of years ago. I mean,
and I'm an idiot, and that was
I was a 10 handicap at that time.
That was probably season one. Yeah,
it was season one. It was before season zero. You were a 10. I was a 10, and you were a 13. I mean,
that's true.
We weren't, even though you all kept saying that. I had the number to say I was there. You
played as a 10. How I played at Locust Hill was an 18.
So what's really interesting, though,
like you would be a 10 and still play at like a 7.
Well, that's what I was going to get to. So I did watch a video, came across today. It was kind of interesting about the handicap system. And they said the handicap system hurts the most. The person the handicap system hurts the most is the consistent golfer. It's the golfer that's going to shoot somewhere between, let's just say, 78 and 82, 83. And for a long time, that was me, right? I was shooting probably 82 to 86, and I throw in a 77, 78. And that's because it was not the fluctuation. The one it helps the most is the guy who shoots 100 and then all of a sudden shoots a 78 2 weeks later. He said that's who it helps the most, because they're slow, inconsistent, because you're only going to shoot your handicap 1 out of 4.5 rounds. Which, it's not 40%, it's 1 out of 4.5. So it's almost like 22.5%, 22%, yeah, or whatever it may be. So, which still blows my mind, because I will tell you, both of us right now we're on fire. I mean, if you really think about it, we both are putting up rounds right around, if not better. I mean, yours are significantly better than your handicap, but I still think of you as a 10 handicap. So you're right where you should
send that. Drop down to a 12.8. Now my low has, I think, when we started the year, I was a 12.7. When I check again, I was 12.7 for this season. So still got some work to do. I would like to continue to drop below what I started at, and
I think
obviously work towards a 10 or below.
I think if you keep playing, now obviously you can't play five rounds in a week, like I think you did over the last 10 days or five rounds in 10 days. I think if you keep playing, and you're going to have to start practicing. You just are. I know you haven't been able to get over there, but I think now you might actually be able to practice and maybe play a little bit less.
Yeah.
You'll be there by the end. You'll have a 9 in front of you before you're done, because some of these rounds that you have that are still holding on that are high are going to start falling off.
And I still have 92s and 94s. Yeah.
I mean, all you need is 82, 83, 84s. To fill in for those 92s, and you'll be there before you know it.
Yeah.
And right now, we just committed. Next week, we're going to figure it out. We'll get a round in. We'll play week 10 together to get this going. We got major number 4. We got major number 5. We've talked about a couple other things that we're going to try to do before the year's out as well, too. So, I mean, I'm not going to do a scale of positivity, because I know where your positivity scale is probably. It's probably off the charts.
Tell you the truth, I mean, as low as I was, 2 weeks ago? Or maybe it was last week?
It could have been three and a half weeks ago.
I'd say, I've probably jumped up to 8 to 8.5 that I can hit 9.9 by the end of the year. And that is just saying because, I will continue to have rounds. The last couple of weeks, since I've been back, I've played more non-meaningful rounds where I wasn't just trying to score. I was going out there having fun and whatnot. And will I continue to do that? Absolutely. But it will be more further and far between. I'm going to be more limited to weekend golf moving forward. Well,
I think the 9-hole golf maybe have to come into play a little bit.
That might be in maybe Friday night 9-hole. Yeah, round like type that. Thing. Maybe take one of the kids out with me so it's not
now
too
they
bad.
Can go. Yeah. So I mean, and you just gotta get good with those high school kids working over at South Ride and get you. Hey man, just take the card out. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Go exactly. Ahead. Yeah.
That's what
you know who I am.
Yeah. Seriously. So but no, dude, it's awesome. I could tell you I was probably just as excited, if not more excited, for you on Sunday when I was following along with that round. I mean, that was a long time coming. I mean, I think you said first time in.
I want to say I have not shot in the 70s since I bought those clubs.
Okay. So
I had a 70s round before I bought those clubs. That's
7, 8 years?
No, because I mean, I bought them. Did I buy them right before COVID or right after COVID? I can't remember.
You had them during COVID. I know that. So let's just say 2019. Let's just say 2018 at the earliest.
I would say I probably bought them 2019.
So it's 2026 around the corner. So you're looking at almost 7 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the next thing on the docket, you break 75, you got to buy a new set of clubs. I mean, that's just going to help work out. So We'll work that in. We'll get to that point. We'll work that in. So, but now, man, congrats to you. We both have had, actually, if you really think about it, with this happening, it's been a great summer for us, and it's too bad that it is coming to an end. But you know, you can't have the first day with you can't have the last day of school without having the first day of school.
That is true.
And you know, we're going to get that going tomorrow. So man, I appreciate it. Please, everybody, please like, subscribe, follow, comment, tell us what you like to see. Tell great congratulations. I mean, please just let us know what's going on. You know, he's been on a stretch for about the past 10 days.
A 78 from a 15.6 handicap. I mean, that's kind of big business right there.
Yeah. I can honestly say that he has turned the corner once we've got back on the Magic Mind. Again, your mental performance shot that can definitely help you out as much as it has helped us out last week. Check out in our description. It does have a link for 50% off. We look forward to being back on the mic.
And it's easily going to drop your handicap three points in a matter of a week.
There is a disclaimer that says that on there. It will drop your handicap. So now, please like, subscribe, check us out next week. We look forward to seeing everybody. Peace.